These are wonderful stories, Ethan. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how it developed that you, as a medical student, also has now a literary career.
Well, it was sort of a surprise to me. I had written a little bit before I came to medical school. I'd written, say, four or five stories. And I wrote because I liked to do it, and I'd had some success at it. And then one day in my apartment in Boston, which was about half the size of this studio, filled with dirty dishes and dirty clothes, the phone rang. Well, actually, I guess I got a letter the day before, and it was Houghton Mifflin. They said they liked the stories, and they had looked others up, and, you know, did I want to publish a book?
They approached you. That in itself is a story, isn't it?
It is a story, because I said, yeah, of course I would. I don't have a book, unfortunately. And so then I wrote the rest of it over the next year or so.
So you wrote some of the stories expressly for the book?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote some of the stories knowing that I would have a book. I mean, I didn't write them expressly for the book. I didn't write them any different from the other stories I'd written.
But the fact that Houghton Mifflin gave you a book author was an impetus to develop these other stories.
Yep. And they just took the ball. I mean, I thought they, you know, on publication day that I would get flowers, which I did. I thought maybe if it booked in really well, they'd take me out to lunch, or if it did extremely well, I'd get to go to dinner. But I mean, they just really pushed it, and they'd send me on a tour and selling and everything. And I don't know how it happened. It's a mystery to me. And it all happened in the last few months.
But you did go to the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
Yeah, I went to the Iowa Writers' Workshop, but I didn't write much while I was there. I just wrote two stories while I was there. I had written two stories in college, which were my application to Iowa. I wrote two stories while I was at Iowa in 2 years. And those four stories, those two put together, were my thesis when I left Iowa. And those were the stories that Houghton Mifflin came up with.
2 years at Iowa and two stories?
And they're both written in the same month, yeah.
What did you do the rest of the time? Were there student bars
question.
There that you
there
hung out?
There were a lot of student bars that I hung out in. I played a lot of softball. Iowa City is really nice. Have you ever been there to Iowa City?
No, I haven't.
That's a wonderful place.
I know a million writers who've been there.
Yeah,
though.
Every writer in the world.
Certainly
has been
the most
there.
Prestigious of all of the writers' workshops.
Yeah, it's pretty well known. And because it's small, I mean, there's so much culture per square foot in Iowa City that it feels more cultured than New York, you know, in certain ways. I mean, at least from a writing point of view, there are two major readings a week, say, in Iowa City, and bookstores, and people were scribbling in every bar, you know. There's somebody back there with a notebook. And it's green and pretty, and we played softball and, you know, drank beer in the afternoons. I just wasn't writing. I guess I got scared of the criticism. Just sort of inherent in a writing program. And people were always telling me, don't worry, you'll write when you get out. And I never believed it, but it's true.
Well, what happened? You would write a story, you wrote two stories in the same month, and these stories would be read in class and then
right,
discussed?
Right, you put them up in class and discussed.
Anonymously?
No.
Did you read your own
name.
Story?
No, you don't read it out loud. You Xerox it for everybody, and they read it at home.
I see.
And come back and talk about it. Nobody was harsh. Nobody was severe. It certainly wasn't severe as a general feeling there. But there's something about a workshop situation in which every line that sticks out at all, every risk you take in a story gets planed off. Every little nub that sticks out gets planed off because you have 13 critics. You know, in a workshop. And with 13 critics, there's every line in your story is bound to be disliked by somebody. So if you listen to them all, you eventually just pare down your story to where it's inoffensive, which is what happens, I think, often in writing programs. You end up with a lot of inoffensive stories because all the risks have been poked and deflated, every risk you take.
So you got your MFA from Iowa, right?
Uh-huh.
And you decided to go on to medical school?
Yeah, well, I'd been thinking about it while I was at Iowa, and I was taking zoology classes there, which is what they call biology out in Iowa at the university. And, yeah, I liked the idea of medicine. You know, I needed a job. You know, I had been a science major for most of college, and so I didn't have that much other stuff to take on top of all what I'd done. And for a while, I regretted it once I was at med school, but now I'm happy I did it. I mean, I like medicine.
Where are you going?
Harvard Med School.
Well, I noticed that in The Emperor of the Air, there are almost every story does have a medical reference here and there.
There are a few. I don't like to write about a hospital. We'll never write about a hospital. We'll never write really overtly about medicine or openly about medicine. But if you know it, it just works its way in. I mean, I know what psoriasis looks like, and I know that, you know, it's like scaling like a fish. And then once you know that, it's hard not to include it. I know what it's like to have heart disease and not be able to breathe, you know, because I deal with those people every day, all day. And that works itself in. And it's a very good thing for writing because you know something about everybody in the world. That's what, one of the things I like about medicine is you have something in common with everybody in the world. And people always, at parties, will apologize and they'll ask me a medical question, like, you know, my shoulder, I can't lift it. And I like it, actually.
But exactly. Medical school is such a time-consuming process. Do you have time left over to write?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it is a very time-consuming process. And it goes in waves, though. There are times when I have no time. You know, I can't even do the laundry. But there are other times when I have plenty of time to write. And those are the times I write. And I've also taken 3 or 4 months off over the last 4 years to write.
Of course, when you get out of medical school, you'll have to take up a residency, won't you?
Yeah, no, that's a different story.
That's going to be tough.
That's going to be very tough. An internship is probably the toughest year. Then the 2 years of residency are also very, very tough. That's why I'm taking a year off now, possibly 2 years, to work on a novel because I want to write it now and I have it in my head now and it's coming out now.
So you have taken time off from
school? Yeah, but starting about a month ago, I took.
But
time
isn't
off.
That going to make it difficult when you go back in 2 years?
Yeah. Exactly. The reason I did not graduate now, I'm almost graduate. I've taken just about everything I need to, is that I knew I forget a lot over a weekend, as is any medical student, and over 2 years I'd forget a hell of a lot of what I have to know. So I'm going to come back and take 6 months more of classes. It's like riding a bike. I mean, you get it back. But, that's what we'll do.
What is going to be your specialty?
I think emergency medicine. Is what I'm thinking of right now.
Well, you like late hours, huh?
Right. Well, they're late, but they're defined. You get on at 8 and you get off at 8. Often that's getting on at 8 p.m. and getting off at 8 a.m. But at least you know when you're going to be off. And it's exciting. And you meet a lot of people and you hear a lot of stories. And you really learn about all of civilization, all of society in an emergency room because everybody gets hurt. And you bank presidents and plumbers and a lot of street people, so you learn a lot about people.
Well, certainly there is a precedent for doctors who are writers.
There certainly are. There are quite a few.
A.J. Cronin was a doctor, as I recall. Robin Cook.
Somerset Maugham.
Yeah. Cook doesn't write like you, but he also...
I wish my book sold as well as his did. No.
Yeah,
his due.
Well, he quit, in fact.
Yeah, recently he quit, I think.
Yeah, he was making so much money with his... Michael Crichton?
Yeah, Michael Crichton. Arthur Conan Doyle, Chekhov, William Carlos Williams, yeah. Rabelais, Walker Percy, who's... I'd like to write like Walker Percy.
You do write like Walker Percy.
I consider that a compliment.
Although he has more mystical elements. I mean, he seems to have a Catholic ideology that I didn't seem to grasp that in your work, but... he does have this very intricate, detailed style that you have, I believe.
Well,
there are similarities, I think, in that style, and thoughtful. You know, it's a thoughtful style where the prose has obviously been worked on. What is your approach to writing, and how do you do a story?
I do. I just start with a character. I don't ever think of a plot. I don't ever think of an ending. I don't ever think of a structure. I just start with a character and try to write with as little editing as I can. I try to get my whole body and brain in a sort of mold of letting everything flow and don't check what's coming out. And then I write. I write about an hour a day when I'm writing. And, first 10 minutes I don't write much, and then it sort of all gushes out in about a half hour, and then I stop. And I don't rewrite that much. Usually just what comes out is what stays. And I always stop when I'm doing well. You know, I always stop on a, that's sort of Hemingway's trick. Always stop when you know what the next line is going to be.
So you don't write yourself out for the day.
Yeah, exactly. So you're sort of excited to come back the next day. Mm. And, you know, a lot of the time I hate writing. I write in the morning because I dread it so much that if I wrote at night, it would ruin my whole day. At least this way it just ruins my sleep. I try to create a character, and if that character works, a plot will come out, and the character will surprise you. And those are sort of the moments you live for as a writer, the moments when somebody surprises you and does something. As Flannery O'Connor said, that's surprising and inevitable.
Your focus has been on California, though, hasn't it, in your short stories?
Several of them are set in California, but I don't like to set anything in a particular place. I sort of set it in a mythical past, sort of my own mythical past, which was a combination of small towns and big cities in different parts of the country. And I don't, you know, some are set in cities, but all the street names are made up in those cities. Because I think if you root something in a particular place, you get too much of a concrete, you get too many concrete associations that, for me, are like cliches, like, you know, trying to use Perrier water or something to characterize a person. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just start with something fresh and be able to characterize the characters myself.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. If you set a story in a town, even though it's a real city, and you start using real streets, real houses, and names of real stores and everything, you have to be relatively careful. There's a structure there that you have to follow that has to have some degree of accuracy that may or may not clash with your story, and you lose a little of that flexibility. This way, you can put a store on a given street that fits your imagination.
And it doesn't have to be two blocks from the public library and around the corner from City Hall. You know, nobody knows where it is.
Now, you've started work on a novel. Do you find that a different...
Yeah, it's very different. It's much more frightening. Stories frighten me, too, to write, because there's always a couple of weeks writing a story when you're underwater and you can't see the air, you can't see the light above you, and you're swimming around, you know, running out of air. And sort of finally you get your head above the water and... towards the end of a story, and you can sort of see that moment when everything sort of comes together. And I suppose that happens in a novel, although I haven't written one yet. I've just started one.
But are you writing the novel the way you write your short story?
Well, it's based on two of the stories in the book, actually. It's based on a couple of them, sort of merged and made a lot longer.
I can see the stories are self-contained, but I could see that they could go on and they could be expanded and elaborated on.
Well, I'm hoping they can. I mean, that's sort of what I'm gambling the next couple of years on. A novel is so much harder for me because you spend, you know, rather than 2 weeks in this underwater situation, you spend a couple of years. And, I'm not writing it from the first page to the last page. It's just sort of, you know, a scene here, a scene there. And I do it the same way. I'm just starting with characters. I don't really know what's going to happen. I have the central plot, just the one incident that will happen. And that's a frightening thing to do. And each time you put one thing in, you get another idea and it just keeps building, and I hope it doesn't get too complex. I hope I can still structure it and sort of limit it. But anyway, it's a frightening thing. It's hard.
Well, it's obvious that the publication of this book has altered the direction of your life to a degree, hasn't it?
To a degree is an understatement. Yeah, no, it really has. You know, as I was saying, I didn't expect any of this. And it's on the bestseller list, made the bestseller list this week, which I had never, I mean... Not even in my wildest dreams would I ever think of something like that. It's on by about the edge of its fingernails, holding on.
But it's such an unusual thing for a new writer that people aren't familiar with, a name people are not familiar with, and it's a book of short stories. I mean, this is a very unusual thing. But certainly the stories are deserving, and as I said, as you came in... Gordon Lish at Knopf said he would have been delighted to have published this book.
Oh, that's really nice of him to say that. I mean, it's been a total surprise to me. And it's a little bit, although I would certainly do it again, and I'm not complaining about anything, it's a little disconcerting to have one's life change so suddenly into, you know, I've never had my name in a newspaper before a month ago. And it's just funny to read people talking about you in the papers.
Yeah, and you're 27, and you know how many people struggle.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly
never
right.
Never get a mention in the newspaper.
That's exactly right. I know a lot of writers, you know, my age who are writing better books than this, who don't, you know, who are not so-called making it, I mean, in the commercial publishing. And, you know, it makes me feel bad.
Well, it shouldn't make you feel bad. There are all sorts of circumstances that lead to a successful book, and they've worked out for you, so you certainly should not feel badly. And I think we all reach our level anyway, and for some people, whether it's a lack of self-promotion or the quality of the work is just not that good, or somehow it didn't reach the right people, I mean, who knows?
There's so many variables, which is another reason this all surprises me, because I didn't have control of any of those. I didn't know why it came together like this. I'm lucky that it did, but, you know, I can't explain it. I don't think publishers can explain it either, why sometimes books work and sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Well, Ethan Kanen, I congratulate you for the Emperor of the Air. And
thanks very much.
I've been seeing other stories, but it's just stories.
Right. There are other stories.
These are really wonderful stories, and I enjoyed the book immensely. I wish you the best of luck, and I'll be certainly looking forward to seeing your other work.
Thanks a lot, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you.